Good afternoon and welcome to Central Coast Voices. I'm your host, Fred Monroe. I'm glad you're with us today. The goal of Central Coast Voices is to bring you credible, valid information and insights from diverse members of our community. Central Coast Voices wants to address how today's choices will affect tomorrow's community and sometimes how lack of choices will affect today's community and the long-term ramifications of changes in our society. Today we're going to talk about something that kind of changed about 24 years ago, and that was the start of the San Luis Obispo International Film Festival. It's just around the corner. They'll tell us all about the starting dates and what's going on with that in a little bit. It's basically a six-day annual event. It showcases contemporary and classic film screenings in a wide variety of venues across the county. It runs from documentaries and cutting-edge independent films and some cinema classics. And it really celebrates what the big screen is as an information and an enlightenment source in our society. You may be familiar with a lot of things that have gone on in the film industry. You may also be familiar with the film festival, but it is a ever-evolving and changing event every year. We look forward to it in March of every year. It's to entertain and to educate and to inspire people. We have had local filmmakers very involved in it. We have had international filmmakers who've become very involved in our community because of it. It really is an event that is both culturally and economically beneficial to San Luis Obispo County because it brings people from other areas into the county. It brings friends, neighbors, guests that you may have into it from a standpoint of what's available in a diverse environment. And it also is used a lot to nurture new filmmakers, look at new audiences, develop film-related youth outreach and education programs. We'll get into it. There's also something that's always fascinated me, and that is, even though I'm not fascinated by surfing, there is a surf night. Not quite sure how that ever started, but it's here, and we'll talk about that. Today, my guests are Brigetta Walsh, and she is a board member for the San Luis Obispo International Film Festival, and Chris Ajo, who is the development director for International Film Festival. And we're going to discuss what they're going to do this year, what's going on, and how you can be part of this in a number of different fashions as both a spectator, participant, volunteer, number of things you can do. Anyway, you can call into the program and be part of the discussion, and that phone number is 781-3875. That's 805-781-3875. We may get a chance to do a little bit of history, because one of the founders of the festival, if she can break away, is going to try and call in a little later on and be part of the discussion also. So I don't know quite where we start. Maybe let's know what's going to happen this year, and then we'll work backwards in history from there. What's new and different this year?
Well, you know, Fred, first of all, thank you for having us on today. This is just an amazing opportunity to reach out to a lot of the people that in the community that support this every year, and we really appreciate the time. Every year, as you say, the film festival is a whole new ball game, and that's one of the beauties of it, and it's also one of the curses of it when you're working on it, is it all changes every year. And so we've got a lot of new features this year. One of the interesting aspects of the film festival is that some of the new special events come out of the new films that come in. Every year, we have over 70 new independent films. We go through over 1,000 films. We screen over 1,000 to get to approximately 70 films that we show. And so this year, one of the films that came in was a film called A Fine Line that's about the fact that in the whole chef community in the country, only 6% of the chefs in America are female chefs, which is a pretty amazing statistic. I would never have thought that. Well, so here's a film about that issue. And so we created a whole event which is going to feature female chefs from our county and female winemakers too, which is pretty amazing. You know, we have such a big wine community here that we also have the benefit of a lot of female winemakers. So it's just an example of how you can take a film that you didn't know was going to come in, you know, 3 months ago. Now we know we're going to have it. And you turn it into a film plus a special event that ties the whole community together. So that kind of epitomizes the film festival. Yeah.
Before we get beyond that, you brought up a key point that I think probably gets lost on an awful lot of people. I frankly had thought about it before but didn't think about it today until you mentioned that, and that is that the films that are going to be seen at the festival, it wasn't just, oh, we're going to call some production company up or some distribution company up and say, okay, we need to put up 242 films. Please send us 242 films. We'll just do something with them. There's got to be an actual screening process. If it was live entertainment, we would call it an audition. I don't know quite what you call it other than a screening in the film industry. But that has got to be a tremendously outrageous process.
Well, and go ahead, Brigetta.
Oh, yeah, that's a great point. You know, we start accepting film entries every June, and we are an international film festival. So filmmakers from all over the world enter their films in competition, which is, of course, the George Sidney competition that mm-hmm. we have. Movie Maker Magazine has voted us, I believe, 2, maybe 3 years now, the best film festival in the top 50 film festivals in the world worth the entry fee. And that's for filmmakers. So that's why filmmakers enter these festivals. It's an opportunity to have their work showcased. And obviously, we have the juried panel that chooses best documentary, best narrative feature. So like Chris was saying, we have over 70 of those films in actual competition. And so they start rolling in around June. Entries are submitted and our 50-plus screeners start screening those films. And it's quite a process. And it's amazing how they get it whittled down, you know, to the finalists.
So you have an adjudication panel and they're going to view how many films, because not only are you talking about new films that are being shown, but whether or not you decide that there's a classic film or a film that has some kind of current theme you want to focus on, how many films does it take to go through? I guess if you show 200 films, how many thousand films do you have to consider before you get it down to that?
Well, in our case, I mean, it varies obviously by film festival, but in our case, the last couple of years, we've gotten in over 1,000 films from all over the world, and we end up with about 70. So that's
wow.
That, you know, I was going to make one of my closing points.
How I spent my summer vacation. Okay.
How volunteers yeah. are the key to this festival. And this is one example of that, which is I think there's 50 or 60 volunteer screeners. And these are people that just love films. And they'll watch sometimes 30, 40, 50 more. Some people mm-hmm. are over 100 films that they screen. And then they will give it a rank, and they will make their comments on it. If it wasn't for that, we wouldn't be able to get it down to the 70. And then by the time we get to the 70, we know we've got 70 great films.
As you're saying that, one of the things that occurred to me is you may end up with an incredibly good folio of films about the time you need to start putting things in print and confirming that you can get copies of everything. And then something may come across your desk late. Something may come out that is timely that, oh, gee, if we don't screen this film this year, next year it will be a, for lack of a better word, a has-been topic. Mm-hmm. So that's a process that's got, I'm thinking of blood pressure here.
and that's Wendy Edson, our fantastic festival director. Yeah. We have a cutoff deadline for the films that filmmakers are entering in competition. And I believe that's somewhere around end of November, December. And Wendy definitely.
Later than I expected.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, no, okay. It is a deadline. And of course, Wendy builds into the programming the opportunities, as you're mentioning, to bring in special films, presentation films, relevant topic films. So she definitely builds that in, knowing that there are going to be films that she may have screened at a different festival that aren't necessarily in our competition, but that are relevant and that we want to include as special presentation films.
And certain films, Wendy does, she goes beyond the submissions that we get in to be able, for example, Surf Night, as, that you already mentioned, has become a tradition in San Luis Obispo. Every year it fills up the Fremont Theater. You would not believe how many people love surfing and surf films. And so, you know, she goes on a special search every year to find a really great, current, independent surf film. And every year she seems to come up with something unique and great. And this year we've got one that is called The Big Wave Project. And it was made by an Australian filmmaker who's actually going to be here for the festival. And it's about, as you can imagine from the Big Wave Project title, it's about, they go in search of big waves all over the world, and kind of the central focus of it is they just had this last year, and they captured it on film, the largest wave ever surfed. And it was in at Jaws, which is an amazing place in Hawaii, amazing beach. And the film is about that. And it's just one of the most, what's the word for it? Just the most picturesque films that you can possibly imagine. The cinematography is amazing. And so anyway, so she had to go in search of that film. And, you know, then all these great things spin out from that. And the filmmaker can come and all those things. Because one of the things that makes this film festival really unique is you see the film, and in a lot of cases, not all the cases, because the filmmakers can't always come here from all over the world because of schedule or whatever, but a lot of times you get to actually talk after the film to the filmmaker. Now, where do you get to do that? You know, you want to know, you know, where did you come up with this, you know, and it just makes for a great conversation and gives a whole new dimension to film.
It is. That is truly one of the amazing things when you go to a film and afterward you have the opportunity to speak to a filmmaker, because we all envision, I think, filmmakers are these untouchable people and they're just so different than us. And then you meet one and you ask them how they came up with the idea.
They're real human beings.
And how they financed the film. And you think there's all this big backing in all these films, and you hear the real stories and it's just jaw-dropping. And that's been such a fun part of being involved in a festival like this, to really see how films are made.
Yeah. Yeah. For those of us who are the oldest people in the room, in my case, we look back. You know, in the 50s and 60s, the ability to make a film meant you had to have a studio behind you. You had to have a large organization behind you. As we've evolved, both with technology and with the way things are distributed, there's more opportunities for small independent filmmakers. So I suspect you may get pictures that sometimes you say, well, this is a fascinating project and it's an incredibly compelling movie, and we'll screen it, and we would really wish that the production organization had a little bit more money to polish off what they're presenting, because some of them are done as independent projects. I'm assuming some of the films that you have are done in a rather speculative manner. In other words, they are films that are done by people who look at the opportunity to show it at a festival like ours as really the key to their success, versus what kind of distribution can I get in theaters, because it may not be a product that would – I mean, a lot of films that I've seen at the festival I'd put in the category of, this is not going to be a financial success based upon the nature of the subject or the nature of the production, but it's an incredibly compelling story or production. So I'm sure you see a lot of that, too.
And you get a whole spectrum from that level all the way to some films like an example of a film that we chose way back, I think, in maybe September or something like that. It's called The Last Men in Aleppo. And it – after we actually selected it for the film festival, you know, not too many people knew about it. And then we found out that it was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Documentary. So those kind of surprises, you know, are really good, along with the fact that, you know, I think getting in a little bit before the Academy Award nomination was good on that one because the filmmaker is actually going to be here from Syria. And so how many times do you get to do that? He could very well be on the stage, you know, for the Academy Awards.
Yeah, I think probably when you – that happens to be a film I am vaguely familiar with because I actually read a write-up unrelated to our topic today about that film from a historical standpoint that I was interested in. That's a film that I believe sometime later than your festival dates is actually on the release list for Netflix. That's, and I'm not sure if it's on release for streaming or it's on release for actual disc. I'm old-fashioned enough that I can tell you my Netflix account is still based upon receiving a red envelope in the mail. But that's how I prefer to see films because it's a little easier to stop them and start them and see them again when you do it that way. But that film, yeah, I think probably you would not have suspected that film would take off the way it has. So the fact that you have it as an available opportunity with a creator present is a fascinating story. I want to remind folks that this is a discussion that they can be part of. You can give us a call at 781-3875. That's 805-781-3875. I want to get into the – I love this. I saw this in your notes when you guys shared notes with me before the program so we can put ours together. And that was one of the great misconceptions of film festival is that too many people think it's all about documentaries. Now, I have to chuckle with that because I have to tell you one of the things that draws me to the San Luis Obispo Film Festival is an incredible love for documentaries. In a lot of cases, documentaries that I can't find any place else unless they happen to make it to the festival. But but that can evidently from the notes, that concerns the festival that maybe people think that's typically an awful lot of what they're going to see.
Right. Yeah, I think I think I answered that one because I actually get that question a lot from people that ask me about, well, what is the film festival about? And I think that is an important point. We do have amazing documentaries, both narrative or narrative features as well, and then short documentaries as well. So, but there's much more to the film festival than just the documentaries. We have an array of narrative features. You know, this year there's one that it just Streaker, and I believe it's out of It's in Europe. I might be Switzerland. I'm not sure where it's out of. But there's an example of a film that's a narrative feature. And let me tell you, I had a chance to screen it, and it's a keeper.
And this is a film about – this is like streaking, we think of. Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, okay. Yeah, the film festival is much more than documentaries. But the documentaries, obviously, that are in it are so important and have so much to say. And there's so much, you know, that people can learn from them. But just to keep that in mind, as if you're not a documentary type person, there are still a lot of other screening opportunities for you in this festival.
Yeah, and I don't want to counteract your effort to make sure people understand it's a very diverse festival, but I have seen documentaries at the film festival that were films I could not find anyplace else or didn't even know about until I read about them at the film festival. And I actually happen to be a My wife would tell you that she wishes I would pick up a novel once in a while as opposed to one more biographical historical book, which is what I read constantly. Yeah. So, but from that standpoint. So let's talk about the this is not a big, giant fortress of film that people can't get into. I mean, literally, people can buy one ticket for one film if they want to, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
It's set up to be pretty much for everybody.
Okay.
All the way from the person that may want to just go and see one particular film for some reason. Maybe they know somebody that's in it or that it's made by. In which case, you can just go, you know, buy a screening pass to go to that film. All the way up to we have various different levels of passes that you can get where you can, you know, let's say you wanted to see six different films. Mm-hmm. You could get a pass for six different films, all the way up to a movie mogul pass, which gets you into everything as much as you want, including the VIP tent, which we haven't even talked about yet. But, you know, it's that's one of the features that we wanted to bring up today too. That's going to be new. And so anyway, it's pretty much made for everybody. And the best way to find out about it would be online on our website, or you can go into our festival office, which is right on the corner of Osos and Monterey, which has programs. We have a very thick program this year. And you can just go through that. What I usually do, because I like printed material, I go through that and I just pick out the ones that I really like. Yeah. And back to that point about the documentaries, I would selectively like to go see a few documentaries if I was really interested in that subject. But in a lot of cases, people don't want to devote that much time to seeing, say, an hour and a half or 2 hour documentary on something. But what I really like is I like the short films. And and there's so many with such a compelling message that just if you went through the program, you would see everyone would see some films that they would love. I can guarantee you that.
Including, you know, the entire Central Coast Filmmakers Showcase, which that's filmmakers from San Luis Obispo, Santa Barbara, and Monterey County. They're local films, local filmmakers. So it's even – it has a huge local component to the festival.
Let's revisit that in a couple of minutes because I'd like some more information about that. We do have a caller, and let me pull this up here. Hi, Mary. You're on the air, and let me – I'm assuming this is Mary Harris.
Yes, it is.
Hi. We asked Mary Harris to call in if she had the opportunity today because Mary is I don't know if you're the founder or founding director of the festival 25 years ago when you got this harebrained idea that this might be an interesting way to spend part of your springtime. tell us a little bit about how this started and why.
Sure. So, yeah, I'm the founder, although I certainly didn't get it off the ground by myself. There were lots and lots of people involved in getting the festival going. We had the first year in 1993, but there was a lot of work getting to the point of being able to launch. There was a very pivotal grant that we were able to get from the city that gave us some seed money. And, of course, Jim D was instrumental from the beginning. If he hadn't signed on as being a venue, then it never would have happened. But I had gone to film festivals on my own. I'd always been a film buff and really enjoyed learning about the behind-the-scenes part of filmmaking and just thought that San Luis Obispo would really lend itself to a festival because we have this wonderful downtown and the venues, you know, there's a core group of venues that's downtown and the community loves cultural events, and so it just seemed like the right variables to put together into a festival. Of course, I really had no idea what it really meant to put on a film festival, but it, as you said, you know, you get a harebrained idea and you follow it, and I just always want to say that I'm just so happy and gratified that the festival is going on and the able hands of Wendy Edson. She's really been doing it, I think, longer than I did at this point. And even though I'm not actively involved with the event any longer, anything that I can do to help out is always my privilege. So that when Fred asked me to say a few words, I'm happy to do that.
Mary, I want to interject one thought as you were talking about that, and we've talked before. The festival now has a reputation. It has a positive reputation. It has what I would classify as a spectator to it, as some world-class clout for small community film festivals. For the first couple of years, though, I mean, my hunch is you would be making phone calls or emails to organizations that would kind of say, yeah, talk to us after you've proven yourself for about 8 or 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, I think there definitely was some aspect of that. And I think that we were lucky to make some key contacts early on that looked past the fact that we basically didn't have a track record yet. And took a chance on wanting to be a guest at our festival, be an honoree, bring films to our festival, and then it builds from that. So, yeah, there was definitely a lot of you know, pick and shovel work at the beginning to build an audience locally and also to attract people from the film industry. But I think because we were so sincere in our efforts and the love of film always would come through, and we would sometimes approach folks that normally wouldn't be invited to festivals, or maybe it wasn't the usual, you know, so we would have panels from the cinematographers, the American Society of Cinematographers, the Editors Guild, who would love to talk about their aspect of what they do on a film. And so you just reach out to the people that are receptive, and then it builds from that. And then certainly as that continues and you approach other guests or companies or people that whose film you'd like to show, you know, then they can check up on you and find out that people had a great experience, and the town always was our roving ambassador for that part too. People would have a great time here and just loved coming to San Luis Obispo. So that we had that always in our favor.
Yeah, and I think on over time, a number of your award winners, both as film production people and for lifetime achievement type awards, the King Vidor Award. I'm pronouncing that wrong, aren't I? I'm sorry. Anyway,
yeah, exactly.
Anyway,
right.
That is an evolving process. I think with the George Sidney, the first person that got that, or
yeah, he was the first recipient, and we were led to him by someone that we had reached out to, Chuck Workman, who is someone that did compilations for the Oscars and for the Directors Guild. So he said, boy, you know, here's somebody you should really talk to. And, you know, luckily our artistic director was able to reach out to George, and he thought it sounded like a great idea, and became a real booster for the festival and would give us suggestions and give us all valuable contacts, people to approach for having them as guests. And so, yeah, it's like a lot of other things in life. It's very relationship-driven. And, you know, if you put forth a heartfelt effort and try and be as professional as possible, regardless of your budget, then you make a good impression. And so, yeah, it's, I mean, the themes of the festival have evolved over time. At that point, it was more classic and restored films, and so that was a lot of the programming, was contacting repertory departments of studios to borrow their classic films and coordinate things that way. And so, and that's always been a little part of the mix. And, of course, you've talked about some of the great things that Wendy has brought to the festival, the Surf Night and more contemporary films. And so, you know, the scope just keeps expanding and getting better.
Yeah. Mary, thanks very much. Thank you for coming up with this idea 25 years ago and getting
it
rolling.
You're welcome. And yeah. I just encourage everyone to buy a pass, buy a ticket, but don't let this chance, it only comes around once a year to see the whole festival. So anyway, wish Wendy and everyone the best for this year's event.
Okay. Thanks, Mary. Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thanks,
okay.
Mary.
Bye-bye. Sure.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
It's, and I have to interject now that she's off the phone so she can't yell at me. If I've known Mary Harris since before this festival was on. This is a very gifted person who I would not have ever when I found out she was doing this, it's like you want to, you know, it's she's a reasonably low-key person. She's a very diligent, thorough person in what she does in her life. But I wouldn't have thought, you know, if I were to pick a lineup of people in San Luis County, it's like, who's going to jump in and start a film festival? She isn't the person who would come to mind for that. So it was a very pleasant surprise when that first started.
The one thing that you know, though, is it has to be based on passion, because yeah. If you don't have a passion, you're not going to be able to, you know, passion overcomes a lot of things. And I guess from what you're saying, in her case, it overcame some things, so which is great.
Yeah, and it brings up the one of the things that she said brings up a part that I think is probably very critical to this day. And that is the reputation that we have as a community for welcoming people in who are already significant movers and shakers in their industry, in this case film, and in some cases are barely little blips on the map now, but somebody's paying attention to what's going on and what's happening with that. I think you probably see that in your competitive areas of this too, which is, as Mary said, was something that didn't exist during the first few years. It was primarily a classic film repertoire program. So any pleasant surprises that are not secrets that we can talk about for this year? I mean, I guess I'm kind of putting both of you on the hook with what films or what particular nature of a film jumped out at you this year. It's like, holy cow, I'm just so, so proud that we get to include this. I'll put you both on the hook for that.
Well, I'm probably not a great one to ask because I've screened it at home probably over 40 some, and I love everything that I've watched. So, you know, there are some shorts in there that just blow my mind, and you're just laughing at them, and some you're moved to tears. Mm-hmm. Just the ability of a filmmaker to, you know, just evoke those emotions in you in a 15-minute short. I know we have an animated short as well. I think it's 6 minutes long, and it was nominated for an Academy Award this year. So it just continues to amaze me what people can do and the talent that's out there. One thing, though, that struck me as Mary was mentioning, you know, starting the festival, is the festival is like a puzzle. There are so many pieces of it, from the sponsorships, which Chris can speak to. Without our local sponsors, this festival wouldn't happen, to all the venues. This year, an interesting addition is the Downtown Center, which, of course, we've always screened films. We have all the actual film or the theaters this year at the Downtown Center. And because of that, we'll be able to screen every competition film three times this year.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which is fantastic, and it opens up the ability for people, you know, schedule-wise, to see films that they may not fit in. You know, our VIP tent, which is in Mission Plaza this year for all 6 days of the festival. We have a special event at Tolosa that we're partnering with. The local wineries, the local restaurants. It's a giant puzzle, and all these pieces come together, and all of San Luis Obispo and the county, the whole county, Paso Robles as well, just really all pull together to make it a real countywide event.
Well, thank goodness Wendy is a great puzzle assembler because, you know, that you mentioned several things there. One that was a very pleasant surprise was that Tolosa Winery, which is one of our local wineries everybody seems to know about, and they are – their sister winery in Spain is called Perinet. And so they worked with Perinet and the winemaker there, and there's a film that came up this year that is called Dreaming of Wine, and it's all about this Perinet region. It's in Catalonia, Spain. And so all the pieces just came together for that, to have this special event at Tolosa Winery. It's going to be a great wine and tapas event, and the film itself, and then the winemaker from Spain is going to be there. You know, it's all about synergies with this event.
That's great. Well, let's for clarity, because we may have to repeat this a couple of times where people are really paying attention. That is, okay, what venues are involved across the county? Because some people may not come to San Luis Obispo very often. So where are there things going on that people can then look at the schedule? Because someone may say, oh, I'm only available on Thursday for a few things, and I prefer to only be in Paso Robles,
right,
if possible, because of work schedule and things like that.
Right.
But I hear my wife talking to me with that is what is going on. I was like, okay, what can I squeeze in after work that we can see and still be in North County?
As Brigetta mentioned, you know, all the way, you know, this goes from Tuesday, March 13th to Sunday, March 18th. During that time, you can see as many screenings as you could possibly see of films, in downtown SLO because we've got all the downtown cinemas. We've got Palm Theater. We've got the Fremont for the big performances like Surf Night, you know, the big films. And so, you know, we've got those venues in San Luis Obispo. Then on selected nights, we're also doing wine films and equestrian films up in Paso. Mm-hmm. And we're also doing a day of films at the Bay Theater in Morro Bay. And so you'd really have to go to the schedule to see, you know, when all of those things, all those individual things are available. But the core of film in San Luis Obispo, you can see films every day. So,
okay. I want to get back to the competition part of this because you were talking about having screened tons and tons of films and loving them all. Are they all screened by locals? Are there people in the industry who are not local who give you some critiquing about films in the process?
Most of the base of screeners that we have are local volunteers. We do have some that are out of the area because, you know, all of these films are online for us. I mean, not for the general public, for private viewing. And so we can have screeners virtually anywhere in the world that are screening. But I'd say 90% of them are right here in our own community.
Okay. So I want to get back to the process of tickets because I realize you'd prefer everybody buy a festival-wide pass so they have really a lot of diversity available. But for some people it might be, gee, I can fit into my budget or my time two or three movies for this. So what are we looking at as far as cost?
So of course, you can go on our website, slowfilmfest.org, or also come to our headquarters. You can purchase a pass, as you mentioned. We do have tickets available for some events. Individually, you're able to purchase individual tickets, not to all of the screenings. So the screenings that we are offering individual purchase ahead tickets, those are on our website. And those are $15 for an adult. Okay. And 12 for student, okay. I believe, student and film society members. And, you know, keep in mind, too, even purchasing a pass holders should arrive at a screening 15 minutes before. And once we get pass holders in, if there are still individual seats available, that's when we sell tickets at the door for individual screenings. So it is, you know, sort of a process to make sure our goal is to get everybody in. Pass holder or individual ticket buyer.
The films that are actually part of the adjudication process, is there an opportunity how many of the entries that you received are going to actually be screened? Obviously, there are some entries that were not, for lack of a better word, the cream of the crop, but they may still be films that someone might have said, you know, we really would like this film to be seen. Of the 70 films that you had submitted, how many of them are actually going to be viewable at the festival?
Well, there were actually over 1,000 films submitted.
Okay.
So all of those 70-plus films, those are the ones
okay,
that are
all screened. The 70 is what you have that's actually going to be screened of the 1,000 that were submitted.
Right.
And one thing I wanted to make sure that we got in, one new feature this year that I think is great is that the award-winning film, so, you know, we have a competition on this, and so there's going to be, you know, various different awards given to the films, but the award-winning films are going to be available to be seen at the downtown cinemas after the film festival. So, you know, one of the things that we got as feedback over the last few years is, boy, I really wished I would have seen that award-winning film. Well, now you'll have the opportunity to see it after the fact, if you didn't know about it beforehand.
How many of the films, there's a section that you have that's the Central Coast filmmakers, okay? So how many films of that are there? And you know, we're close to the center of the motion picture industry still, which is Los Angeles, but we're far enough away that an awful lot of people who are in that on a daily basis don't necessarily live here. And a lot of the filmmakers may still be film students that are looking at this more as an evolutionary process for them.
Well, and the other thing we didn't really even bring up yet was the fact that we also
have time.
we have a youth filmmakers showcase. Mm-hmm. So we have films that are that have been submitted from, I think it's like elementary school, middle school, and high school levels.
Correct.
And those all get judged as well. And that adds a whole new interesting component to the film festival, I think, when you can really see some of these. You know, you mentioned before about how the technology's become so available to filmmakers now. Well, the youth films is a perfect example of that. You know, it's like practically everybody with their iPhone these days can, you know, make a film. And so you get some amazing films made by elementary school and middle school, and who knows, maybe some of those will be back, you know, in future years as well-known filmmakers.
So the Central Coast Filmmaker Showcase, okay, though, I think you were referring to that. I believe we have 26 or 28 Central Coast Filmmaker Showcase films this year. And so the Central Coast Filmmaker Showcase films, those each screen once during the festival. So those are different than the films in the George Sidney competition, mm-hmm, which will screen three times. So in our festival guide and online, of course, and our online search tool is great because you can search by date. You can, you know, there's all different kinds of ways to search for the film that you want to watch. And that will outline what days and the venue that the Central Coast films are screening.
Okay. So of the films that are both part of the larger competition and that are part of the filmmaker showcase, how many of those will have filmmakers that'll be available for Q&A afterwards? Because that for me has been a fascinating part of the festival, to ask questions of people that I may never thought would even want to talk to me.
The latest number, Chris, you might have more updated, is I believe we're over 60 filmmakers. That was the latest that will be coming to the festival.
That's the latest that I heard, too. So when you think about it, that's an amazing number, mm-hmm, that 60 filmmakers are going to be able to come to represent their films. So it makes for such a great experience to be able to talk to those filmmakers.
Yeah, one of the things that the evolution of film production has gotten to the point where, I mean, I mentioned earlier somewhat facetiously that I still preferred to get my films on an actual disc, is the commentaries that oftentimes come along with that. I'll view a movie, and then I will go in and listen to the running commentary from the filmmaker that is oftentimes with it, because it just gives me some fascinating views on what evolved in the process. So I think that I enjoy that as much as actually being at the film, is to hear what's the narrative about the evolution of that film as part of the process, and being able to hear that from people that in a lot of cases we may be able to put in the category of, gee, I knew them when they were a local filmmaker, mm-hmm, in Morro Bay, or a local filmmaker in Lompoc that was at the festival. It's an opportunity that you don't get very often.
I've been in films, too, where the filmmakers there and other filmmakers go to see their film, and they ask some of the most amazing questions, you know, and specific questions. It's like, what kind of a lens did you use to shoot this scene? Because we can't imagine how you did it, you know. And you get that kind of interchange going on. It's pretty interesting, too.
It is great because you get a variety of questions, from details about the content of the film, the subject matter, to the technical aspects of filmmaking. So it's great to have, you know, that filmmaker there to answer those types of questions. Keep in mind, too, our VIP tent, which, of course, you can go online again at slowfilmfest.org. Okay. Find out all
It's a nonprofit organization,
yes,
but it takes
Absolutely.
Money to keep it going.
Absolutely.
Okay, yes, understand
and
that.
Filmmakers also mingle in that tent. So not only do you often have an opportunity to speak to the filmmaker and ask questions after their screenings, but you can catch them oftentimes in the tent, which is a great time to really get some more details from them. We also have discussion panels going on all week in the tent, and those are listed as well.
Yeah, I don't know if we mentioned it, but this will be the first year that we have the VIP tent in Mission Plaza, which just that's going to add another dimension too, because, you know, Mission Plaza being kind of a central hub of the whole city is a perfect place for us to do this. And we've also got great catering and great food presenters, and we've got over 30 wineries now. You know, some of the best wineries in the county are going to be participating this year. So it's a great food and wine event. We've talked a lot about the films, but we haven't really talked about all the food and wine part, which is what our region is really a lot about. And so it'll be a great representation from that part of our county too.
Okay. Put you on the spot. Back up to this. I kind of alluded to it earlier, and I didn't get. I don't think I got a clear answer. I may not have asked a clear question. What is, as you look through what's going to be presented this year, is there anything that you, but both of you personally, have put in the category of, wow, I never would have realized that this was a film that was available to us, or I hadn't thought about how incredibly powerful this particular experience is for a particular film? Maybe one that you saw because you've gotten to screen some of them, or one that you, when you looked at the narratives of what was going to be on the schedule, or in the category of, I'd give up sleep for days just to make sure I get in to see this one. Either of you have a favorite in that category?
I'm going to take that one, Chris. I'm looking back at all the...
you know, it's really hard with so many great films, you know, to pick out particular ones. I mean, it all has to do with your personal interests. I'm really looking forward to that surf film this year because I just... There's something about that I've never surfed, but I love to see films like that. I mean, the fact that you've got somebody going down the face of a 80-foot wave... You know, it is just so thrilling to me, and I love cinematography, and always asking the question, how did they get that shot? How could they possibly do that? You know, and so that, yeah. I like films like that.
Yeah, Surf Night's always a fun big event. One that actually for me, it was a Central Coast film called The Boatmaker. And it's actually being sponsored by Morro Bay Yacht Club. The film, and this filmmaker, I don't want to give too much away, he has ties even locally to San Luis Obispo. And it's just a beautiful short, it's a documentary, 35 minutes long, about him building a particular wooden boat himself. And it's amazing. So that's a Central Coast one that I really enjoyed.
And the boat maker on that is not a local boat maker. He's a local boatman.
Well, actually an architect, and his background was at Cal Poly. So, one's really interesting. There's a short, the one that I just got a kick out of called Security Deposit. For anybody who's ever rented an apartment, you got to see that short because it is it will definitely strike some interesting.
And there's some films that'll just grab your heart and bring a tear to your eye too. I was just thinking of one of my favorite shorts I saw for the second time again this week, which was Two Strangers That Meet Five Times. And without giving away the plot too much, it's a 12 or 13 minute film about racial prejudice that gives you a whole new insight on the whole thing, which is, you know, pretty cool. That's why I like film, is, you know, it just gives you films that give you a new perspective on things.
Yeah, we're rolling on the films we've watched. Okay. A feature documentary, actually. So this is a feature-length documentary. The Test and the Art of Thinking, which all has to do with taking the SAT and the ACT and testing. So for parents out there with, you know, pre-college-age children and even for people who don't have kids, it's just an interesting documentary about how we test, why we test, what the test does, and it really it raises a lot of questions. It did for me, certainly, with the mother of a middle schooler.
Yeah, and Chris, I'll give this to you. I have historically stayed away from the surf films, but as you gave the narrative about that featured film of this year's festival, it's like, okay, maybe I'll rethink.
If you were going to try it,
I'll rethink of surf films.
This is a good year to try it.
Yeah,
Surf Night is always a fun night. It sells out every year. I'm from a surf family, so it's a must-see in our house. I do encourage people to get online and buy your Surf Night tickets because the past couple of years, we have not had very many at the door, if any at all, to sell. So get online and buy those Surf Night tickets now.
We're going to be kicking off the week, too. Our opening night film is called Hotel Salvation, and it's another great film from India. And so we're doing our whole opening night party is going to be a Bollywood theme. And I think, you know, you don't get too many opportunities to do something like that. And again, it was just because of that film that came in. So,
are there still opportunities for volunteers? The people who are listening who said, you know, I'd love to be a volunteer with this and I never get around to asking. So how can people still get around to asking?
With all those extra screenings that Brigetta was mentioning, you know, we have even more opportunities for volunteers this year. And so for sure, the best way to do it would just be you go to our website and it can and there's a button that says, you know, volunteer. And you can contact, and they'll get right back to you, too, because they're trying to fill spots, you know, for ticket taking and, you know, just easy things, but, you know, get you into the process and really helping out the film festival. So,
and volunteer positions are things that people can do for 4 or 6 hours they might be available for. You're not necessarily looking for volunteers that are only available for not looking just for retired people who have the entire 6 days available to be part of that process.
Yeah, I they're Monday through or Tuesday through Friday volunteer positions. There's weekend positions. There's everything from maybe a couple hours all the way up to however long you want to work on a shift in the at a particular event. So. Lots of different opportunities, and if you just go to the website, you'll be able to contact our volunteer coordinator, and she'll hook you up really quick.
Yeah, and I remind listeners often. I mean, the website is slowfilmfest.org. However, it's really easy if you Google Slow Film Festival or San Luis Obispo Film Festival or Film Festival SLO, they'll all work. And so we've occasionally had listeners say, you know, I would have found out about such and such, but I couldn't get the website information down fast enough. The bottom line is it's amazing what Google will find you, even sometimes when you don't want to find it. as I do every week, I try and make sure I give my guests a couple of minutes and I get out of the way so you guys can talk about maybe the things that we've missed here. Chris, I'll start with you. You're on your 2 minutes. Tell me what it is that you want to make sure that our listeners don't forget about coming into this year's film festival. And we'll go from there.
Well, let me start by just summarizing some of the basics about it. So it's Tuesday, March 13th through Sunday, March 18th. So it's coming right up. We're a couple weeks away. And if you, without talking through all the specifics of it, the best way to really get to know it is to go into our downtown headquarters office and pick up a program. That's at 1003 Osos Street, which is the corner of Monterey and Osos. Or go on the website that Fred just mentioned, and you'll be able to get a complete schedule and guide, and you'll be able to search for whatever you want to search for. You'll get a great overview. I guess the biggest point I wanted to make about it is just – I really do believe that this is an event where there is something for everybody. If you really get in and you take a look at the different films and the different events, you're definitely going to find something that you really like about it, that you really want to get involved with. And if you want to get involved with the whole thing, there's always a mogul pass that was brought up earlier where you basically get into all the films and you get into the events and the VIP tent, which is a big deal because that's the kind of a nexus point where you're able to rub elbows with the filmmakers and a lot of people that are in the biz. And so please take a look at the program guide and just start going through it and see what you like about it and then go into the office and get tickets or buy tickets online.
Yeah, your material online is very complete and very thorough. It's easy to work through. Brigitte.
Oh, let's see. Well, just going off of what Chris mentioned, slowfilmfest.org, lots of good information out there. You know, I think just remembering that this film festival, we are a nonprofit organization. We have sponsors in the community. Without our sponsorships, our grant funding, our individual ticket purchasers, our pass holders, and we couldn't do this festival without all their support. And it's a great opportunity to showcase both the city of San Luis and the county. It brings together everything from, you know, like the surf night event, wineries, fantastic restaurants. And it is a great film festival, but it really is more than just the films. It's its own destination, you know, event in and of itself. And I think anything locally that you can do to continue to support that, push arts and culture in our community, is fantastic. So movies matter. That's our motto.
and I guess I'll warn people, it is somewhat addictive. You go one year and you get in just maybe a few films or squeeze it in. Based upon the timing, I don't get to as much of it every year as I'd like to, only because March is a tough work schedule for both my wife and I, and she's reminded me that when she retires in a little over a year, we have more film festival time available. You know, I have to mention this because it jumped out at me that one of the local filmmaker films broke the Santa Barbara oil spill of 2015. I mean, we're talking about this is a film that's going to be screened on Wednesday at 4 p.m. in the Downtown Cinema. This is a film that has become very topical because the issue of whether or not we explore that and have that as part of an ongoing issue on the Central Coast again is not going away. And so that's there's timely topics out there. And yes, I'm a documentary film freak. I'm very sorry. It just comes with the territory.
Well, we'll see you at that one.
You will see me at that one that day. Yeah. This has been Central Coast Voices. I thank you for being with us today. I want to remind folks that Chris Kington Barker will be your host next week, and she's going to be doing a program that's going to look at the harmful myths and stereotypes about eating disorders, and she's going to explore how you can make a difference in your life or other people's lives with regard to that. Eating disorders currently affect over 30 million Americans, and they struggle with eating disorders and the battle with body image and negative stereotypes and impacts for their lives around that. And so next week she'll have guests, and they will be looking at this from a standpoint of the National Eating Disorder Awareness Week, which is next week, and they're going to focus a conversation on body image, eating disorders, and how we look at food. Central Coast Voices is a project of Action for Healthy Communities, along with KCBX, and we thank you for being part of this. You can read the Action Report at actionslo.org, which will give you a snapshot of San Luis Obispo County. You can reach us at voices@kcbx.org or 543-2323. I want to thank my guests today, Brigitte Walsh and Chris Aho. And the film festival is a wonderful thing to talk about. And if you've never been before, you should be there. And if you have been before, I'm sure you're going back. This has been Central Coast Voices. Thank you for joining us today.